There's a new online calculator developed by a team of research. It's called the Risk Evaluation for Support Predictions for Elder Life in the Community tool. It can help predict death and need for end-of-life care for frail older adults. Dr. Amy Sue, researcher at the Ottawa Hospital, faculty in the Department of Family Medicine at the University of Ottawa, joining us on Canada Now. And Dr. Sue, when a loved one is nearing the end of life, it's often difficult for families and loved ones to make plans.
So hi, Jeff. First of all, thank you so much for having me on the program. And I completely agree with you. Yeah, it's a very difficult conversation to have for many families talking about what their loved ones' end-of-life care needs are. But, you know, that's precisely the problem. That's why in the research that we've done, we've seen that so few Canadians actually receive support in their homes as they're approaching the end of life.
Yeah, and to that point, most Canadians die from predictable causes and have health needs that can be met at home, but only 20% of people receive a physician home visit in the last year of life.
That's right. And approximately, so if you look at the statistics that are published by Statistics Canada, you'll notice that approximately 60% of Canadian adults actually die in the hospital. When in fact, for the majority of older adults and people living with advanced illnesses or life-limiting diseases, the preference is actually to die in a home or a home-like environment where they're surrounded by their loved ones. Now, the challenge is that because as a person approaches the end of life, as they're declining in health, they actually need more care. Often they need around-the-clock support. And in order to do that, we have to actually be able to identify their prognosis and using that information to assess how much care they need as they're, you know, declining in a home environment.
So how close a prediction can the calculator make?
So the data, maybe I could just backtrack a little bit. The data is based on individuals receiving home care in Ontario. So this is an assessment that's done often for clients who need long-term home care in their retirement homes or in their personal private dwelling. And the information that we present to the users on the calculator is actually reflective of the average home care user's experience through the Ontario's publicly funded home care program. And so when we're talking about accuracy, there are two metrics that we're looking at here. One is, I don't want to, you know, get into the weeds here, but one is what we call a SEET statistic. Basically, that means that, you know, if you were to randomly select a group of people, right, the calculator or a person who's making the prognosis should be able to rank the person with the worst outcome higher than the person with, you know, the lower chance of experiencing the outcome. So in this case, this is death, right? So when we're looking at the SEET statistics, for an average clinician, they're correct in making a prognosis at 6 months about 60 to 65% of the time. So your average, you know, doctor, they can tell you whether or not with certainty the person will die in the next 6 months about 60 to 65% of the time. The calculator has a SEET statistic of 76%. So 76% of the time, it's able to identify a person with the worst outcome and rank them higher on that risk score than the person with a potentially, you know, healthier, better outcome. So, you know, it actually adds a lot of information that could support a clinician's decision-making. The other thing that I want to highlight is that, you know, because this is reflective of the Ontario population's use of home care, what we're presenting here is not hypothetical numbers, right? So the range of survival that we present in our calculator is actually based on the actual survival of people receiving home care in Ontario. So that range that you see on the web calculator is looking at, you know, for a person like you with similar characteristics, you know, 25% of them might die in the next 8 months, but 25% of them might end up surviving 18 months. So you can use that information however you wish to inform your decision-making.
So what would have been the strongest predictors?
Yeah, so that's a great question. I think often people think it's the diseases. And of course, the diseases that a person has will influence their life expectancy. Right? So we all know that, you know, if a person receives diagnosis for a stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, that significantly reduces their life expectancy. But when you're looking at an older adult with multiple comorbidities, it's about factoring how these different comorbidities and these risk factors, you know, how they interact with each other, and factoring them into one calculation to produce an estimate that best reflects what their prognosis might be like. And what we see is that it's not just the diseases alone, it's actually some of the signs of decline and physical limitations. So if you're unable, you know, if you're losing mobility, you're losing cognition, you're unable to care for yourself, so overall sense of frailty, those are actually the strongest predictors of decline and end of life.
So would you say that this calculator, based on past information or the information that's been put in as a result of past experiences, would you go as far as saying that it's an even greater predictor than the disease a person might have?
What it does is it provides more information that factors in all the risk factors or the characteristics that the person has. You know, so for some people, their diseases are going to be more predictive than the other characteristics, looking at, you know, your past health. Like, so, for example, we look at your past healthcare use. But for others, if this is a general frailty, that actually makes it, especially for you're looking at a patient without cancer, right? So they're just generally very frail. And so it's not the specific single disease that's predicting their prognosis. It's actually their overall decline. So for that person, that overall decline is going to be more predictive than the diseases themselves.
Are there, you know, you look at different diseases, and I guess most notably, and maybe I'm asking this because I've had firsthand experience with this within my family, but Alzheimer's, dementia, like those are like, okay, the experience I've had through the loved one that I've had that has had it, their doctors and caregivers, professional caregivers, were so able to predict what was coming, just didn't know exactly when it was going to happen. Would this calculator be a good evaluator for those that unfortunately have Alzheimer's and dementia?
That's exactly the challenge that many clinicians face, which is, you know, for diseases like cancer, we have these clearly marked, you know, trajectories, right? So you can stage the progression of the disease, looking at tumor size, looking at whether or not it has metastasized. But for other diseases, when the person is chronically frail, like Alzheimer's, or when you're, you know, when the person has congestive heart failure, for example, their health status tend to be, you know, they will bounce up and down, but continue to decline towards the end of life, which makes it difficult to make a prognosis because you will have good days and you will have bad days. But what the calculator does is, and, you know, that's why we took information from people who have received care in Ontario to really to capture what is the range of experience. Right? So what it does is it actually provides both the patients, the caregivers, and the clinical care team information on what the typical trajectory for a person like your patient or a person like you in their experience of receiving healthcare in Ontario. So these are not hypothetical numbers. You know, of course, there is a range, right? So like I talked about, for someone who's really frail, you might be looking at a range of several weeks difference. But for someone who's less frail, maybe that range is from, you know, 8 months to 18 months. But what we present is that this is the information that we have on everyone who's gone through the system with similar care needs, and this is their experience. So, you know, you can use that information to inform decision-making. Maybe you're on the healthier end of that spectrum, so maybe you have a longer life expectancy than average. But at least it gives you some estimate so that you can actually, you know, initiate and launch that care planning process earlier. So then you're not kind of sitting around thinking about, oh, I don't know when I will need palliative care, for example. You can actually use this to advocate for the need for more supportive services in your home.
That's great. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to benefit from this. Now, is this a tool that would only be in the hands of physicians and care staff, or is this a calculator that we can all use?
We designed the calculator really with the patient in mind. So we actually had, before we made the calculator, we had conducted several focus groups looking at what are individuals' information needs as they decline, as they approach the end of life. And so a lot of people, you know, that we interviewed in our focus group, caregivers and patients, they told us that this is the type of data and information they want their clinical care team to have. So they can use them in their discussions. But also for many caregivers, if you're thinking about, you know, if you have a parent who lives in a different province and you're thinking about whether you should take time off to, you know, to be with them, spend time with them and support them, this is information that many caregivers are looking for and they're not able to find elsewhere. And so if you think about, and I do this as well, so often when you hear about someone with a diagnosis in your family, you might Google the condition, you look at WebMD, and you look at their prognosis. But that's not personalized to the person, right? It's just looking at the range for a particular disease. But here we're giving you personalized information that both the caregivers and advocate for the patients, but also the clinical care team can use for their planning of services.
Hmm. So how long did it take to put together this calculator?
Oh, it's been in development for 3 to 4 years. You know, initially it was really focusing on what are the information gaps when it comes to palliative care. So we did a lot of research around looking at who's getting palliative care and who's not getting palliative care and how do we meet those needs of individuals who are not getting services. And then we started developing the algorithm. And of course, we actually piloted it in a community setting to see whether or not this is something that would be helpful to your average person who might be approaching the end of life.
How can we learn more about the Respect Calculator?
So the calculator is now available on our team's website. So our team, it's called Project Big Life. We actually develop a lot of risk prediction tools to help Canadians, you know, gain a better understanding of what contributes to their health. So their overall health status, but also, of course, looking at their healthcare needs. So the tool is available on projectbiglife.ca, and specifically the RESPECT calculator is on RESPECT, so R-E-S-P-E-C-T, .projectbiglife.ca.
Excellent. Dr. Amy Hsu, I really appreciate this. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about it.
Thanks for having me on the program.
All right. Thank you.